Up though today, if you've seen a copy of The West this morning, you may have noticed a significant advertising splash from Clive Palmer's United Australia Party. In fact, you couldn't fail to notice them. You'd be hard-pressed to notice them because they are literally plastered across the newspaper. Two full pages across page 2 and 3, a banner on page 1, and another half page on page 9. Clearly, the gloves are off, and the billionaire businessman has well and truly launched his campaign to try to win seats from the majors. He's also running again personally for the Senate on the Queensland Senate ticket for his party. You'll recall he spent about $80 million at the last election, but this time round, it's anticipated that his UAP will run the most expensive campaign in Australia's history. It's also a sign, considering the content of the ads, that the war of words between Mr. Palmer and Premier Mark McGowan over the border controls is still alive and well. The aftermath of their last verbal stoush has yet to play out. We know that the legal showdown between the pair over the defamation action is now set to go ahead in the federal court in Sydney in just under 3 weeks. Mr. Palmer is set to be the first witness to take the stand on February 14. And then on February 26, Mark McGowan and his sidekick, Attorney General John Quigley, are expected to front up and also answer the questions. That means, of course, unless there are more changes to our border rules, and who knows where that's going, the Premier will have to self-quarantine for 14 days when he comes back to Perth after that court appearance. That's if his G2G pass is approved, of course. And he has suitable accommodation at home to be able to do that. Anyway, that's all in the future. Meantime, Clive Palmer will be free to return to Queensland and jump back on the campaign trail for the federal election. That's where he is this morning, out on the hustings. Clive, good morning to you.
Good morning, Liam. It's great to talk to you and to be able to speak to the people in Western Australia. I've been trying to visit Western Australia now for nearly a year, but Mark McGowan's kept me out, and I think you'll see revealed in the court proceedings in Sydney in a few weeks' time the decision to leave me out was not the chief health officer. It was made by Mark McGowan himself. But, of course, we know Mark will be able to feel the wrath of his own orders when he returns after the court by 14 days self-quarantine. One of the most important things is that tomorrow we'll serve legal proceedings in the federal court. We'll file legal proceedings seeking $50 million personal damages against McGowan, the Attorney General Quigley, Solicitor General Thompson, and State Solicitor Egan. These proceedings will allege deceit, dishonesty, and malice against International Minerals, one of my companies, prior to the passing of the Amending Act. We hope that the people of Western Australia won't be burdened with their legal costs, because when you're dealing with dishonesty and deceit, it can't be argued that these sort of allegations are in the public interest. It's in the public interest that public officials act honestly.
Just take me through that again. I just want to get this quite clear. So tomorrow you're lodging a $50 million claim against McGowan, Quigley?
Yep. Thompson, the Solicitor General, and the State Solicitor Egan. Right? Now, we all know in the famous ABC interview that was given by Attorney General Quigley, he laughed over the fact that he had misled the arbiter, former High Court judge. He'd misled us in relation to wanting to have mediation in relation to that matter. And all the time, the state solicitor was preparing this act, contrary to what he was saying in the arbitration, and contrary to what was said there, that dishonesty and deceit was used as a method to deprive me of my valuable property, because they were worried and concerned that I'd register the arbitral awards. Now, we'd refrained from doing that because I sought to go across the mediation that was going to be done by the former Chief Justice Wayne Martin in good faith. And we thought in good faith that would lead us to a resolution. So we're seeking damages from them for their dishonest behaviour and the deceit and the malice which caused our company substantial losses.
Well, that's a big claim. I suppose that comes back to the, I hate to say it, but if you were successful in that claim, then the people of Western Australia would be saddled with the bill, would they not?
Well, actually, we were seeking to mediate things, but of course, We've seen that Australia now is in $1.3 trillion of debt, and Mark McGowan hasn't built any hospitals, and so there'd be no money available for hospitals or spent for medical staff. So if we'd received any funds from that, the first thing we would have done would be build hospitals in Western Australia for the Western Australian people. Because the WA hospitals are overflowing with people now, caused by side effects, in some cases death, by caused by this experimental vaccine. Mark McGowan knows he can't open his state because he knows the hospital system in Western Australia is already close to collapsing. And there's been over 92,000 adverse reports filed with the TGA and reported over 700 deaths. But this has been suppressed by McGowan and governments in this country, which have threatened media outlets with loss of their advertising should they publish such figures.
Well, we're pretty free to publish figures, I've got to say. I mean, there's been no suppression on this program. But can I just go back? You're saying in this court case that's coming up in Sydney, you're going to show evidence, are you, that it was Premier McGowan's decision to keep you out of WA, not the chief health officer's?
I'm pretty confident that's the sort of thing that will come out. We'll have to wait and see. But I know that McGowan's counsel has said that he needs me for 4 days cross-examination. I was going to ask him, our solicitor, to write to McGowan's solicitor and say it'd be better if he cross-examined me for 6 days, because I'd like to have the opportunity to tell the people of Australia and Western Australia what's really going on in the Western Australian government. I'm pretty confident that's what will come out, that I was kept out of Western Australia for one reason. They didn't want to have me and my party to be able to organise for the last state election. I think that'll be shown by the evidence, which will be coming up next week. And that's why Mark McGowan and Quigley have been so desperate not to come to Sydney, not to give evidence, not to take the oath, not to perjure themselves, because they know the bind that they're in. Because at last, Mr. McGowan will be held accountable and the truth will set us all free. You know, no government ever gives back freedoms that they take from the people. That never happens. And you've seen that by what's happened in February this year, where he's gone back on his word and not opened the borders. The only way you get that freedom back is by making them do it. And that's why we've got the United Australia Party. And right across this nation, we've got 80,000 Australians joined up in our party, and we'll stand candidates in 151 electorates in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, and we'll make them do it. We'll make them give the freedom of the Australian people back to them.
Well,
and we've got to stop the lies and bring the truth to account.
There's no doubt that freedom is the key theme in your campaign material. All those ads, the billboards, the YouTube stuff. I mean, what sort of budget are we talking about, Clive?
Well, you know, you've got to first consider that government can't take your freedom from you. Freedom was given to you by the 100,000 young Australians who gave their lives to this country, whose bodies lie in graves around the globe. And no task, no sacrifice is too great when it comes to defending freedom. And certainly, I think that whatever it takes to make sure the Australian people are properly informed, I'll spend. Because my relatives, like many others, fought in 2, 3, 4 wars to save this freedom. They were in the First World War. I lost relatives there in the Second World War, and the Kokoda Trail, it's a book. No, Vietnam, and my nephew is standing as the number 2 Senate candidate in Queensland, set the infrastructure up from his service in the Air Force in East Timor. So all these people have done a lot more than I could ever do for Australia. So I'd be a pretty weak person if I didn't answer the call when I saw my fellow citizens suffering, when I saw lies being told in the press to a large extent, and the government repressing freedom of speech.
But
these are things that people have died for that we have to defend.
But, you know, I don't think anybody argues with the principle of that, but there's been, as you know, through COVID times, that sort of very fine line between freedom and suffering. And you do realise, Clive, that there are a lot of West Aussies who are very happy that the Premier has kept the borders closed.
Well, of course they are, but they're not. And one of the first things about dealing with any sort of medical treatment is a proper informed consent. Now, the situation in the eastern states is pretty clear. But there are thousands of people that have captured COVID, but there are not thousands of people dying with COVID. Most of them don't even know they've got it, right? So, you know, your question's got to be asked, why did 3,500 nurses resign in South Australia? Why does the government think they've got to mandate people to lose their employment? They don't do that about other vaccines, such as meningitis or or diphtheria or anything like that. It's not a requirement you're vaccinated. And if you're vaccinated, no, it doesn't mean you've got the disease if you're not vaccinated. We know that this thing doesn't work. The CEO of Pfizer said it doesn't work. And of course, you know, we see it being captured and passed on right around Australia, regardless of your vaccination status.
But we also know there are more people in ICU who haven't been vaccinated than those who have.
Well, of course, we don't know that, because my advice is that's not true. Right? That's just a beat up. And you wouldn't want to believe anything you hear coming out of the government. You've got to ask the question. Well, why haven't the 700 deaths been investigated properly by the TGA that were reported to it? Why hasn't the 92,000 adverse reactions been reported to it? I mean, my own daughter's tutor had a hysterectomy after she was vaccinated. There are people in the hospitals. Talk to the nurses. Talk to the doctors. The reason why? Because over 200 doctors, Australian doctors, have been struck off because they objected to what was happening, and they can no longer practice.
Well, I'm not.
These are serious allegations.
I've got to take those figures on notice as well, Clive. I mean, when you say trust the figures, I mean, whose figures do you trust? But the point that I'm getting to is that your stance.
Website. Have a look at
the TGA website. Yeah, no, I do, and we read that regularly.
We'll go to the TGA website. If you haven't got the report, we can send a copy to you, right? And that's their report. It's not ours. But those figures are not out in public. People don't know about that.
Clive, my point is, this stance that you're taking, and you're well and truly making it public, as I mentioned at the start of this.
Well, I've got a duty to do that.
Well, do you think it will win you any seats?
Yeah, I do. I think you'll see us, certainly our responses in Sydney, where we have 25,000 members in the western suburbs, that at least 12,500 were double vaxxed and then locked down for 6 months, even if they'd done that, they're pretty angry. And I'm pretty sure we'll win seats there. I'm sure Craig Kelly will be returned. I'm sure in Melbourne the same thing's happening. I think it's happening in Western Australia too. People had confidence and faith in the Premier of Western Australia because they thought he was telling them the truth. And the stark lies were exposed when he changed and said, I'll lock you down. Now, people are being nice, the political parties, Labor and Liberal. They think they're being nice to the people of Australia. What do you think they'll do after the election? They'll lock you down forever. They'll impose a social credit system, much as what you've got in China, where if you don't comply with government things, your freedoms will be affected. And freedom is a right that's been earned by Australians on the battlefield defending this country. The government's got no right to bargain freedom with compliance with public policy.
Clive, you said at one stage, when you'd finished being a senator all those years ago, you said that was it. That was you'd had enough. But you're running again. Why are you running again?
Well, I spoke with Craig Kelly in Parliament in the middle of the year, our federal leader, who will be the next Prime Minister of Australia. I spoke with him and he said, what can we do? He said, the whole political class, the Liberals, the Labor and the Greens, have deserted the Australian people and they're not telling them the truth. He said, I'm prepared to throw my career in and make a stand. And courage is one of the most rarest commodities in politics. He said, what will you do? I said, I'll stand with you and I'll kick in $100 million so the people of Australia can start to learn what's been happening in their country.
$100 million.
That's right. So that's our minimum spend. And we'll do all that we can to make sure that freedom's returned to the Australian people like it should be.
Look.
And that we value our democracy.
I don't know whether you're just crazy brave or you're incredibly committed or what it is, but I mean, it's a great line, but you know that Craig Kelly's never going to be PM because of your...
No, I don't know that. I don't accept that. Because,
come on, Clive.
I don't accept that because I don't accept Australia is not a democratic country. I don't accept it's not. I don't expect that every time the Liberal and Labor Party go, that we just vote for them, regardless of what they say, regardless of what they do. And we've got a movement across this country of 80,000 people that have rallied to the flag. The Liberals have only got 50. Labor's less than 60. We're the biggest political party in this country. 300,000 people marched on the streets of Sydney last Saturday behind Craig Kelly, demanding that they have freedom, demanding that their lives are not locked, that they're not locked up like you would be in China.
How many?
And of course, about 300,000. That wasn't reported in the press.
No.
But it happened.
Clive,
that wasn't reported in the press. But also, you've got to remember that Mark McGowan in the Labor Party in Western Australia has a whip, who is a former member of the Chinese Communist Party. Why is that? He's got questions, serious questions to answer, McGowan has. And some of those questions are, you know, what role does Brian Burke play, a former West Australian Premier, in advising him personally? That's a question that we'll be asking him when he's on the stand, when he's accountable to the people.
All right. Well,
that's for sure.
Your chances, just finally, your chances of coming here and campaigning personally, they look pretty slim the way the border restrictions are going, don't they?
They do at the moment. But the point is that we have a great state director in Western Australia who's standing for the Senate, and Rob Forster, and he'll be there and he'll be active. And I'm ready, willing and able to come to Western Australia, and so is Craig Kelly, because we want to have the opportunity. You know, the High Court of Australia said that the right of political communication is a right, implied right of our constitution. We may have to seek to invoke that, because we want the people of Western Australia to participate with all other people of this country in the election on a fair and honest basis.
So you're not ruling out another High Court challenge?
We're not ruling out anything. We've already had three or four challenges which have been successful in Queensland, not reported by the press. We brought a action in the Supreme Court of Queensland for the Queensland government to open their borders. It was set down for hearing on the Monday, and on the Thursday they opened the borders because they couldn't answer the question. And that's the reality of it. You don't want to underestimate the pressure that our party's brought to change the environment in this country, that the Liberal and Labor parties are running scared, and so they should be, the way they've let down the Australian people.
All right, Clive, we'll have to leave it there. We'll watch that forthcoming federal court action with much interest and talk to you again after that, no doubt. Thanks very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Liam. All the best.
Clive Palmer on the line from Queensland there. United Australia Party out on the hustings already. The unofficial election campaign, well and truly starting for him.